The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Well, we got to answer some much more important questions, and that would be the main one on people's minds. Oregon v. Penn State this weekend. Can Oregon get it done in the Big Ten championship game? But beyond that, I wanted to kind of start out the framing of this conversation talking about Oregon specifically before we get into Penn State, Will, and discuss whether or not they are the most dominant team in college football. David Polak, and actually we'll play that clip again here in a second, Rust, if we could. David Polak talking about on his podcast the Ducks season so far and why he thinks they're the most dominant team in football.
But Oregon has by far been the most dominant team this year. And it's interesting. We talk about parity in college football, and we do have parity, but Oregon doesn't have parity. Like, Oregon's had a great season. They've played one, you know, close game.
Let's talk about that game then.
Let's do it. They have 7 wins by 21-plus, Brent. Like, Oregon has thoroughly taken care of business.
Yes, they have. They've been dominant, but of course, they have experienced some challenges along the way. A few weeks ago, the Ducks narrowly defeating Wisconsin, that 16-13 win. They only scored, both teams, by the way, only scored on one end of the field. So that's one glaring reason as to why that score was so low. Of course, they won by just a point against Ohio State, snuck past Boise State by 3 points. And that was at the beginning of the year, though. I mean, they only led Idaho by 3 points with 6 minutes remaining before a late touchdown. But this was at the beginning of the year when Dylan Gabriel was trying to gel, when the offensive line didn't really have a left guard, so to speak, a center, because Pickard was in and they had to slip their center over to left guard. But you move there, not just offensively, not just defensively, special teams, but position by position, Will, when you look at what Oregon's done, how they've gotten the wins, and in the multiple ways they've gotten the wins, do you think that they're the most dominant team in college football?
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to be. You're 12-0. You know, like, every other team at some point has lost a game. And frankly, every other team that has lost a game, how many of them do you look at those losses and you go, you know what, that's actually okay? Like, Texas lost to Georgia. And in most years, it would be, hey, you know what, that's a really tough game. You lost to Georgia. Yeah, it was at home, but Georgia's a really good team. But that's also the same Georgia team that barely beat Kentucky. That's also the same Georgia team that lost to Alabama. And frankly, after the first half, was getting destroyed by Alabama. Even in the game that they beat Texas, they didn't look that great. Carson Beck just got lucky that they started half their drives in the first half on the opponent's side of the field. I mean, they really should have lost to Georgia Tech. Like, that really should have happened.
8 overtimes
last week. Yeah, if Georgia Tech just keeps doing what they've been doing all game, which was run Haynes King, they win that football game.
Well, and ultimately, a game decided by 2-point conversions over and over, I don't think really gave everybody a convincing argument that Georgia should have won.
Right. Not a super fan of that decision. I hope it's not the same overtime structure in the playoffs. I think if that happens, you'll see a big change. But to get back to Oregon, you have the number one quarterback in the Big Ten. He's not going to win the Heisman, but he's going to be a top 5 vote getter. This offensive line, which did struggle at the beginning of the year, they're one of the 3 teams that are Joe Moore Award finalists. Tez Johnson would be looked at more favorably if he didn't have his injury. Now that you get him back, what he's been able to do for this offense and just the eyes that he draws and frees up Holden and frees up Ferguson and frees up Stewart. You know, you look at the running game, again, at the beginning of the year, not great. Once the offensive line got figured out, Jordan James, Like, he's one of my favorite running backs to watch. He's always trying to find someone to run through. And then you look at this defense. I don't understand why nationally the defense doesn't get the same type of love. Like, I've been listening to national shows all week in my preparation for this game and my preparation for my gambling bets. And they all talk about Penn State being the better defense.
Yeah.
And they might
especially
have
up front.
They might have the better overall player. Like, Abdul Carter's probably going to be a top 10 pick. He might be a top 5 pick. Like, that's how good and freaky he is out on that edge. The problem is that Oregon has a guy that got more sacks than him this year,
yep,
in Mateo Uiagalelei. And because of the amount of games that Jordan Birch missed, there were multiple times where Mateo Uiagalelei was the featured pass rusher. Like, they knew he was coming. He wasn't just eating because Jordan Birch was on the other side getting all the looks. Jordan Birch, in four less games than all of the other top sack getters in the Big Ten, he's top four. Like, if he doesn't get hurt and miss, what, three games, four games, he probably is leading the league in sacks. So then all of a sudden you're going to have the conversation that they could very easily have the top two sack getters in the Big Ten. Then you throw in Cardwell. Then you throw in Harmon, who Harmon is still one of the most disruptive players in college football. He's almost got a Chris Jones-like effect because of the amount of pressure and his run-stopping ability that he can get from the inside. That's not even going in to talk about how good Betcher has played and how good Bassa has played at that linebacker level or the secondary and what Jabbar Muhammad can do shutting down an entire side. They are the best team in football right now, and I don't think that they get enough credit. Now, am I going to come out here and say that they are on par with one of the great Alabama teams or that 2019 LSU team or 2001 Miami Hurricanes?
Of course.
04
yeah.
USC. I'm not going to have that conversation.
No, I'm talking about this year.
I don't think that's where they're at. But I do think that Lanning is going to have something dialed up for this game because all you've heard all week is how this Penn State team is on par with this Oregon team, and I frankly just don't think they are because this Penn State team wasn't on par with that Ohio State team.
Yeah.
And that Ohio State team was a worse version than what Oregon faced, and Oregon beat that Ohio State team.
Yeah, I got to agree with you there. And I guess essentially I'm kind of talking like, would you rather have a team, you know, that's like B plus or A minus in every facet of the game, like I think the Oregon Ducks are, or would you want a team like Texas where you got like maybe an A plus defense, but like a B minus offense? I mean, there's little differences that we're talking about here, but that's why I say position to position, Oregon is the most dominant. And
they're the most complete.
Exactly.
They're the most complete team. And I
like
think
that word too.
They have multiple ways that they can beat you. Not every team has multiple ways that they can beat you. Like this
exactly.
Penn State team, I would be lying if I said there isn't a path for them to beat this Oregon team.
There is
100% a path. But that path for this Penn State team is they have to play suffocating defense.
Well, Carter's got to be in the backfield the entire game.
Carter is going to have to get after Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to get sacks on Dylan Gabriel. And Dylan Gabriel is going to have to do the one thing that Dylan Gabriel has shown when he's shown weakness. And that's have turnovers in the red zone. Then Penn State is going to have to be able to run the football. And Drew Aller is going to have to be able to find Tyler Warren multiple times. Because your number one wide receiver target is your tight end. And the different places that they're going to play Warren so that they can get him the ball, it's going to be incredible. You're going to see something, if you haven't watched a lot of Penn State football games this year, where you go, hey, isn't that the tight end? Why is he at quarterback now? Why is the tight end at left tackle? How is he eligible to go out? Wait a minute. They didn't have enough guys on the line of scrimmage. What is happening with this guy?
They give some
because
weird looks.
They're going to put him in a bunch of weird spots so that he can play and get the ball to him. And so they're doing it to get matchups. And he's a matchup nightmare because you can't just put Muhammad on him. This isn't like when you played Ohio State and you can say, well, we're going to put Muhammad on Smith and hope that we limit Smith to three or four catches. Like, you can't put Muhammad on Warren because of what Warren can do in the running game too.
Yeah.
But to win this football game, it's going to have to be a low-scoring game for Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
Where I think if Penn State comes in and they take away the passing game, I still think there's a world where Oregon can run over Penn State. If this game turns into a shootout, I don't like Penn State's chances.
Nope.
If this turns into a gritty, grimy, grinded-out game, I like Penn State a little bit more than I like Oregon. But do I think that Oregon can win that type of game? 100%. So I'm going to go with the team that can win in a variety of different ways, as opposed to the team that can really only win in one way.
Yeah, that's a great point. We'll get into that one way here, too, where we kind of already just did that Penn State can do it. Well, we'll get into the multiple ways that Oregon can win here in a couple of minutes. But Penn State v. USC is the barometer that it seems like a lot of national pundits and even some local people are using to compare Oregon to Penn State. And you know, maybe people think that because of that, Penn State's going to put up some points on Oregon. I highly doubt that. You talk about a very talented defensive line. I mean, it's really one guy. It's Carter for Penn State. They've got some other guys there on the defensive side as well. But and they are a top 20 defense in the nation. I should point that out. They're nothing to sneeze at, right? Penn State is really talented. They deserve to be here, and they were still undefeated at that point when they beat USC to move to 6-0. So, I mean, they've been in the conversation all year. Drew Aller's had a lot of good games. But if you're looking at giving it only to Allen, giving it only to Warren, and then depending on your defense, basically, you know, to keep Dillon Gabriel and to keep Jordan James in the backfield, is that actually comparable to what Penn State's game against USC was? I don't think so. USC, which doesn't really have that great of an offense, scored 30 on them. And if I'm just taking that directive, I would think Oregon can score 50 on Penn State.
That seems excessive. I would not take Oregon. I don't think that this is a blowout. I think
for
Oregon,
sure.
I think Oregon wins the game. I think they win it by a touchdown, maybe by 10. They're not. I don't think they put up 50 in this one. Don't be shocked if this is kind of a feel-it-out game at the start. How often do we see big games, especially in college football, where for the first quarter or so, kind of both sides, maybe they get a first down or two offensively, but they end up leading to punts? I just think as the game goes, Oregon will wear this Penn State team down. And then the key for both sides, it is a little bit silly saying it this way, but turnover margin is going to be important.
Yes.
If Penn State can turn over the Ducks, especially multiple times where they get shorter fields, that's going to set them up in a good spot to where they can get points. The only reason that that Ohio State game was within a score at the end was because they got a pick six early against Howard. If Dillon Gabriel can limit his mistakes, especially the backbreaking ones in the red zone, which has happened to him. It hasn't happened recently, but it happened early on in the season. That can be a momentum shifter. But I really look at that Ohio State game, and this Penn State team was going up against, for most of that game, the number two left tackle. I think the number two left tackle gets hurt in that game, and it becomes the number three left tackle at one point. Ohio State still had their center in McLaughlin, but they were on their third string left tackle, and Carter was able to eat, and he got after Howard, but Ohio State, when they needed to, they were able to run the football. It's the same Ohio State team that if you take away one or two explosive plays, could not run the football against Oregon, and that was at 100% health. That same Ohio State team couldn't run the football against Michigan, a defensive line that this Penn State team didn't have to go against. They couldn't get that push. Remember, they had the ball on the 3-yard line, first and goal, and they couldn't gain 3 yards, and they ran three straight run plays. Now you're going up against an Oregon defensive line that I think is better.
Yep.
And better at getting after the passer. Now there's a great text here on the Vancouver Ford text line. What about the backup QB, Prabula? He has shown that he can run a little bit. That fits a little bit more of what Andy Kotelnicki wants to do. Don't be shocked if he comes out multiple times in different packages, in different settings, specifically the red zone, where you can add into that plus one run game, where he gives you something that Oregon hasn't really seen out of this Penn State team because they haven't done it unless Aller's been hurt. Aller's a little bit more of a pocket passer where Prabula can move around a little bit. That all being said, barring turnover luck, which at times it really is. If a ball hits off a guy's hands, bounces into the defender's hands, that's luck. It's a good job and it's skill of putting yourself in the right position. But there are times where sometimes the fumble just bounces into the defender's hands.
Yeah.
If you can take away those turnover lucks, and if you're the Ducks and you can win the turnover margin, I think you win this game, and there's a chance that you win it comfortably.
Well, they've won just about every type of game this year, and that is why they are being considered by some as the most dominant team in college football.